Here we go. You're listening to Law and Gospel on this Friday, May the 3rd, in the year of our Lord 2024. I'm Pastor Tom Baker. And taking a look at this coming Sunday, May the 4th, well, actually, it's May the 5th. It's the sixth Sunday of Easter. And there are a number of readings. We've taken a look at Acts 10 and John 15. But today I want to take a look at the epistle from 1 John chapter 5. You see, the Apostle John wrote a number of letters as well as the gospel. And why are we looking at Bible passages? We want to see if the distinctions between law and gospel are found in every Bible passage. What do we mean by that? The law refers to the idea that we are saved by obeying God's commandments. Now, that is not true, because as an unbeliever, the motivation to obey a commandment is always selfishness. What's in it for me? What am I going to get out of this? And so we obey the commandments looking at ourselves. When you are saved, you no longer want to obey the commandments for a selfish reason. You now want to obey the commandments because of your love for Jesus Christ. So, beginning with 1 John chapter 5, verse 1. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God. Now, if it was a law statement, it would read, everyone who obeys Jesus the Christ has been born of God. You see, we are saved not by our obedience. We're saved through faith, believing a promise. And the promise is that Jesus, and that's the man born of the Virgin Mary, referring to the incarnation of God, where he became a human being. And if you believe that Jesus is the Christ, that means you have been born of God. Because it is impossible to believe that Jesus is the Christ of your own free will. What does Christ mean? Well, Christ is the Greek word for the Hebrew word Messiah. In the Old Testament, people were promised that a Messiah would be coming, who would redeem the world. You find that throughout the Old Testament in Genesis 3:15, that the seed of, well, Eve would bring forth the Messiah. And that came about through the seed of Mary. You also will find in many passages of the Old Testament a promise that he would come to redeem the world. In Daniel, the Ancient of Days, who is the God the Father, sends the Son of Man, who is Jesus Christ, into the world to redeem the world. If you believe that, that Jesus is the Christ, you have been born of God. Now see, for a while, even the apostles were not aware of that. They believed that Jesus had a lot of power. Maybe he was a prophet, but that he had been born of God, that he was the Son of God, and that he was God himself, was not apparent to the apostles until the time of the resurrection of Jesus, 3 days after the crucifixion. Verse 1 continues of 1 John 5. And everyone who loves the Father loves whoever has been born of him. So that shows a close connection between believing that Jesus is the Christ and that he has been born of God the Father. That occurred, of course, at his baptism by John the Baptizer, where he was taking on the mission of the church. And that's why he was baptized, for the repentance of our sins. Verse 2. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and obey his commandments. Now see, God looks at the obedience of his commandments in two ways. The one way is after we have been born of a woman, we also have original sin. And therefore, when we attempt to obey the commandments, we always fall short of obeying them according to the glory of God. We obey them for a selfish reason. But when we are baptized into the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, we then love the Father and we love him who has been born of him, who is Jesus the Christ. We also then have the ability in the new man to love the children of God because we love God and want to obey his commandments. So that's the second idea of obeying his commandments. We obey his commandments because we have been given the power to properly obey his commandments in the life of sanctification after we have been justified by Jesus Christ for the sins of the world. That is what forgiveness is all about, that we are no longer held accountable for our sins. So we love the children of God. And who are the children of God? Those who have been born of him, according to verse 1. And that birth Nicodemus learned was by water and the Spirit. Verse 3. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. What does that mean? Well, apart from the gift of the Holy Spirit, obeying the commandments of God is a burden. A burden that the world thinks it can meet when it cannot. In fact, every religion in the world, it talks about salvation by obeying the commandments of God. But an unbeliever, prior to be given the gift of the Holy Spirit, is unable to obey the commandments of God with the proper motivation of the love of God. That's why the commandments are not burdensome. Because when we love God, we also love to obey His will. Verse 4, for everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world. And then it goes on and says, this is the victory that has overcome the world. And then what follows? Does it say it is our obedience that has overcome the world? No. It says our faith. Faith is a gift of the Holy Spirit. And we thank Him for that, because this moves us to believe. Verse 5 really completes the thought of this victory of faith. Who is it that overcomes the world except the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? That's what is taught in both the Old Testament prophets and the New Testament apostles. Jesus is the Son of God. Now, they should have recognized that when he was able to still the storm over the Sea of Galilee, when he was able to walk on the water, when he was able to feed 5,000 people with just a little bit of bread and fish. But they did not recognize that. In fact, after Jesus stilled the storm on the Sea of Galilee, the apostles asked one another, who is this man? They still hadn't realized that he was God himself. Yet they came to understand that at the time of the resurrection. So how do you overcome the world? You overcome the world by believing that Jesus is the Son of God. What does that mean to overcome the world? Well, the world is really referring to the place of Satan, where he tempts you. He tempts you to do sin. And how does he do that? Well, he gives promises that seems better than the promises given by God. That's what happened with Adam and Eve. They heard the promise, if they eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, they will die. The devil said, no, you will not die. You will become like God, knowing good and evil. That was a temptation that sounded more wonderful than the temptation of God. And so they obeyed the devil. Every time you and I sin, it is an obedience to the devil. But every time we follow John the Baptizer and repent of our sin, that is because we fear, love, and trust in God the Father. And therefore, we overcome the world. go to a proper Christian funeral. People are very, very sad. And yet the sermon brings them a comfort that can only come by hearing the gospel, the word of God, about the forgiveness of sins and heaven as your home, as you believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Now then, John goes on with verse 6, talking about Jesus. This is he who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ, not by the water only, but by the water and the blood. So the question is, what is meant by water and blood? This is a reference to Jesus' baptism by John the Baptizer and his crucifixion on Good Friday. Those events mark the beginning and end of our Lord's earthly ministry. The baptism marked the beginning. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Because even though John the Baptizer thought that he should be baptized by Jesus and not vice versa, Jesus explained that in order to fulfill all righteousness, he needed to be baptized with the baptism of repentance. That was the beginning of our Lord's earthly ministry. The cross is the end of our Lord's earthly ministry. Remember what he himself says. It is finished. That means the purpose for which Jesus Christ came into the world has now been completed and finished. If our salvation is finished, then there is nothing to add that we can do to save ourselves. No, Jesus has done everything on the cross. So reference to water and the blood is also pointing to the sacraments of the church, baptism and the Lord's Supper. These sacraments, rooted in water and blood, bear witness to Jesus Christ as the Son of God, our Savior. You see, it is incorrect to give the impression that Jesus was put to death by the unbelieving Pharisees and scribes. No. Jesus died willingly by his own will. He invited death to occur after all of the promises of the Old Testament had been fulfilled. And the last promise from Psalm 22 is that Jesus would thirst. Therefore, when that was finished, he gave up the spirit. Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And he died. Even Pontius Pilate was surprised that he was already dead, because when the soldier put a spear into him, it says water and blood came forth. And that was a sign of death. Jesus will to die when he finished the work of our salvation. Going on with verse 6. And the Spirit is the one who testifies, because the Spirit is the truth. Now we know that Jesus says, I bear the truth. But so also did the Holy Spirit. What truth did the Holy Spirit give to us? That the death of Jesus Christ was the work of God, the Father, in putting our sins to death. That death was destroyed by Jesus Christ. That was the good news of the gospel. That was what Jesus was preaching after he was baptized by John the Baptizer. And the Spirit is the one who testifies, because the Spirit is the truth. Now, verse 7 continues, for there are three that testify, the Spirit and the water and the blood, and these three agree. So what are they talking about? The Spirit who came into Jesus at the baptism of John the Baptizer. Remember, the Holy Spirit descended from the skies like a dove and went into Jesus. And then the water and the blood, all three of those agree that that is what saved us from eternal damnation. Verse 9 continues, if we receive the testimony of men, the testimony of God is greater. For this is the testimony of God, that he has borne concerning his Son. So yes, the world believes what men say, but the Christian believes what God says, because that is greater testimony, that he has borne concerning his Son. Verse 10, whoever believes in the Son of God has a testimony in himself. Whoever does not believe God has made him a liar, which refers to making both God the Father and God the Son, as well as God the Holy Spirit, liars, because he has not believed in the testimony that God has borne concerning his Son. And this is the testimony, that God gave us eternal life, and this life is in the Son. That's the life we received from the cross, when Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they are doing. We receive eternal life at the very moment when faith is given to us, either by the sacrament of baptism or by hearing the gospel message preached. And this is the testimony that God gave us eternal life. Our life began at our baptism, and it continues throughout our life here on earth, and into heaven. Verse 12. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. Now, what does it mean to have the Son of God? It means to have the Son of God as your brother in Christ. That is the promise, that those who believe that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God, and therefore you love the Father because you have been born of Him. And when you love the Father, you then begin to do the commandments properly, not as a way of earning a reward to get to heaven, but rather as obedience to Jesus Christ, God the Father, and the Holy Spirit, because what the three of them have accomplished and planned before the foundation of the world, electing you into the Holy Christian Church, the kingdom of God on earth, so that when you die, you go into the kingdom of God forever and ever. 1 John chapter 5, great passage to share with those who do not yet understand the importance of Jesus Christ. I'm Tom Baker. Join with us Monday for more on Law and Gospel. God bless you.
Listen to Law and Gospel each weekday morning at 9:30 on KFUO. For a tax-deductible gift to Law and Gospel, please make your check out to Law and Gospel and mail to Law and Gospel, P.O. Box 28910, St. Louis, Missouri 63132, or call toll-free 1-877-267-1962.
Views and opinions expressed on Worldwide KFUO may not represent the official position of the management or ownership of KFUO, the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. If you'd like to comment on programs or topics heard on Worldwide KFUO, write us at KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can also leave a question or comment on our comment line at 314-996-1542. We are the messenger of good news, Worldwide KFUO.